which is headed to the mid-50s. Clear tonight, 30 for a low. Sunny to partly sunny Tuesday and Wednesday. High temperatures at about 53 to 55 for tomorrow, and 58 to 60 on Wednesday. For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
All right, good evening. Eddie Fury of you, the co-host of Thumb Sports Line, and right there, the actual host of Thumb Sports Line Radio on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM, Mike Gallagher.
Eddie, how you doing? It's nice to see that you're still alive. I was a little worried about you this weekend.
Why would you have to worry about me?
I don't know, man.
Did I make you nervous last night or the weekend?
A little bit.
Well, you know, what's great about that, and by the way, what they were worried about, folks, and I know this ain't sports talk, but I love music.
Mm-hmm.
It's what, how I started in radio, man.
Yep.
Sports came later.
Got the Seven Dust t-shirt on tonight.
Oh, you like this?
Okay.
I haven't worn it yet.
Nice, yeah.
You see, they're from Atlanta,
okay.
Georgia. That's why it looks that tomahawk,
okay.
Seven Dust.
Very
so you
cool.
can read it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I survived the mighty Metallica Pantera concert Friday and Sunday, along with, of course, Metallica, the main attraction, and finished it up, wrapped it up yesterday, Sunday, had sandwiched a game in between that with the Decarville Eagles, the Adrian Lenaway Christian. I made it before you did somehow, some way, by myself.
You were closer.
Was I? Yeah, I was. It was an hour and a half.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's a lot of bothersome traffic, so. All right, it is Thumb Sports Line. So, yeah, that's what I did. That was my adventure. I'll tell you about it. Listen to the Morning Fury radio show if you're up that early with me. On WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM, and WTGV 97.7 FM. Streaming online at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Yes, our streaming is back up. What happened was there was a software company update on their end. They did not warn us about it. So that's why our stream is not up.
Mm-hmm.
It's back up, though.
It's back up.
It's back up. Nick Lean, our operations manager here, got it all back working again. So I don't know how he figures things out. I think he kind of just does what I do. Hey, let's try this and hit it with a hammer. Boom. It works.
I think he does what you don't do, and that's why it works.
What I don't do?
Yeah.
Probably explains the collection of laptops that I have down in the basement.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
They're all stacked up down there. Don't throw it out, honey. I might need it. This is a laptop from the year 2000. 23
yeah.
years ago. What do you need that for?
You never know, man.
Thank you. Back me up on that. All right. I made the Fury Spaghetti, too, so I'm fired up. All right, so yeah, got back this morning, 10 a.m., walked in and been working online at the home studio. Now back in the studio, folks, for Thumb Sports Line. So what do you want to start off with? High school girls volleyball?
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Okay.
When we come back from a quick break. But high school girls volleyball, you got a signing going on tonight?
Yeah, yep, I'm going to have to be leaving early. The other TSA guys are going to, help out tonight. We got Jonathan Bisher, Clark Ramsey, Paul Adams, maybe calling in tonight.
Maybe Scotty, or is he busy tonight?
Scotty's also busy tonight.
Okay.
He's handing out some trophies tonight in Kingston
at
the awards banquet. So,
okay,
not to give anything away, but yes, I'll be leaving early. Olivia Finley from Marlette, she is signing with Wayne State University to continue her track and field career.
Wow, that's fantastic!
Yep, state champion high jumper. So
yeah. That's great. All right. Okay, so with that, we'll take a break, and we'll talk about high school girls volleyball. It restarts tomorrow in the quarterfinals. We've got some Thumb Coverage area teams. We got the Ubbly Bearcats.
Ubbly.
No, I'm what I'm saying
football.
Is for football. Yeah.
Football. Okay.
For high school girls volleyball, yeah, we got North Branch, Marlette, and
Cass City.
There
I was
going
to wait and see if you could get it, but
I was almost going to get it.
Yeah, almost.
I killed a few brain cells. So,
I bet you did, yes.
and then, of course, high school football. We have some several teams still in action. The Millington Cardinals, who are now new to, of course, the Big Thumb Conference starting next season, but mm-hmm. we always keep track of them. The Almont Raiders in.
Yep.
Also, the Ebley Bearcats are in.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Deckerville and Kingston, unfortunately, saw their seasons come to a close on Saturday.
So when we come back, we'll talk about that. here on WMIC Thumb Sports Line Radio. I'm Eddie Fury. That's Mike Gallagher. We'll be right back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes six loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve, without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular!
Be very wrong if I didn't play any Metallica, being I just came from the show there, Mike. So
yeah, I think that's appropriate.
This was the last song they played on Sunday night. It came right out of the song One.
Okay.
And really quick review, they were flawless. It's a great one
it's
of the
good
greatest
review.
Shows.
Yeah, wow.
One of the greatest
flawless.
Man, I've seen Metallica.
Were they flawless both nights?
They were.
Okay. Wow.
Ask Nick. Friday yeah. night just killed it. They killed it. They're right now. They just went above the Deftones. Best sounding hard rock metal band I ever saw. All right, let's see if they can keep rocking here. The high school girls volleyball season got some area teams, of course, in your coverage area. The Marlette Lady Red Raiders in action tomorrow on a Tuesday in a quarterfinal. The winner moves on to the state semifinals and hopefully a state championship. All taking place state semifinals and state finals in Battle Creek, Michigan at the Kellogg Arena. So the Marlette Lady Red Raiders in action, Mike. And, well, they got a challenge, don't they?
Yeah, you know, a challenge for sure with Clarkson Everest, but this is a team that they've actually played this season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did play them in a Saturday tournament at Mount Morris. The Saturday tournaments, you play three sets instead of five. Clarkson Everest won in three sets. But it's a little bit different when you're playing on Saturday. You know, you're playing in bracket play, pool play. You're playing a lot of games. So Tuesday night, Marlette's sole focus will be on Clarkson Everest. That was a game when they played, it was a 2-1 match. Marlette was a little bit shorthanded that weekend. So, if Marlette's at full strength on Tuesday, I really like their chances. It'd be pretty cool to have a team back at Battle Creek for Santa Lac County, because it's been quite some time. Brown City was the last team to do it, and that was before my time at the Santa Lac County News. But really just such a great win for the Marlette program last Thursday.
Yeah, they went five full games.
Yep.
And took the set 3-2, so mm-hmm. big win.
Yeah, and that was an ugly team. Obviously, they saw them twice during the regular season, with it being a Greater Thumb East Conference opponent. And you know the old cliche, Eddie, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times. It's hard to beat a team twice, especially in the postseason. And Ubley looked really, really good at times on Thursday night. And, you know, I don't think Marlette was ever in any real trouble, but Ubley did give them a good battle. They have some big front row players, and they had a good game plan for trying to neutralize Gabby Martinez. But Olivia Finley you know, stepped up big on the outside for Marlette. And, you know, Martinez, she still had 22 kills. So that's with, you know, the Ubley focusing so heavily on her, she was still able to come away with 22 kills and five blocks. So just a great effort from her. But really it was all six of the seniors for Marlette. Gabby Martinez, Delaney Gage at libero, Addie Ruggles, Olivia Finley, Lily Lemansky. Emma Heisner as well. She picked up her 2,000th career assist in the semifinals. So she's been huge for this program as well. But those six seniors, they barely left the court on Thursday night. Freshman Abby Rowling, she filled in at times just because she's so good at on the front line there. But really, it was those six seniors that brought the title for Marlette. And at this point in the season, that's what you hope you can rely on. You know, those seniors have been there before. You know, they were there in the regional finals last year when they lost to Royal Oak Shrine. And, you know, Coach Bishop, she just, you know, hey, these are our six seniors. These are the ones that are going to give us the best opportunity to win, and they did that. And this is, when you look at the Marlette program, they've been, since Coach Brandy Bishop took over, they've been taking these strides towards, you know, becoming a great program. And, you know, Marlette in the, you know, late 2000s, this was a great volleyball program. They actually won regional titles in 2006 and 2009. They were a state semifinalist in 2009 as well. When Coach Bishop took over in 2019, this was a team that lost in the district opener. 2020, they lost in the district finals, but that was a very young Marlette team. You know, Gabby Martinez was actually on that team as a freshman. 2021, you know, they make it to the district finals again, and they get upset by Sandusky. In 2021, Marlette was 22-15-1, and I think most people would have said that they were the favorite in that final against Sandusky, but Sandusky was just playing its best volleyball of the season at that point. So you have that in 2020, you make it to the district finals. I think you're just happy to be there, and it's a great experience. 2021, I think you feel like you should have won that one. So when you come back last season, 2022, you go 31-10-1, you win the Greater Thumb East Conference title for the first time in Bishop's tenure as a head coach. You win the district title, which that was a big step for them, and then you make an appearance in the regional finals. So this season, those expectations have been lifted. They're elevated expectations, and they won the Greater Thumb East again. They won the district again, and they expected to win this regional title and continue to grow as a program. And for them to be able to do it on their home court, that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, part of growing is to take on some competition out there.
Yeah, for sure.
They took on Millington.
Yep.
We're in the playoffs.
District champion Millington, yep. Yeah.
Just lost to Cass City. You know, Carroll, some of the bigger schools. Mm-hmm. I like to, you know, obviously, you have to play Sandusky. Millington, they played Millington twice. They see Croswell, Lexington, yeah. As you said, Clarkson, Everest, Collegiate, because maybe they felt like we might see this team down the line.
Yeah.
So, the scheduling obviously helps. Elmont on that schedule also. No, those are the those little two-game tournaments, right, on Saturdays?
Not two. They'll play more games than just two, but they're to three
right.
sets.
Yeah. So that's what they did. Yeah. So two out of three, like you said, instead of five.
Right. Right.
These Saturday tournaments. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. So yeah, they even play Elmont. You know, like three times I see on the schedule.
They played them towards
Mason
the end of the season
too.
As well. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're never going to take their lumps with Mason, but still, you know.
Mason, where our friend Connor Thomas is the
that's
athletic
right.
director. Yeah.
Well, there you see where
there's
the
connection, maybe.
So now this game is being played in Fenton tomorrow, 7:00. Gives you a little time to get down there.
Yep,
it's quite a little bit of a trip for him, but this is a quarter final.
I'll take it over going to Adrian again. It was kind of funny when I was driving home from Adrian, I saw the exit for Fenton, and I was like, oh wow. That's,
right there,
not bad. Yeah, that was an hour and a half into my drive already.
So that's the volleyball quarterfinals 16. You got to get your tickets online through MHSAA. Now, if they win this game, they will move on to take on either Adrian Lenaway Christian.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. St. Joseph Our Lady of the Lakes, who are playing tomorrow also, and that will be played at the Kellogg Arena. If they win this quarterfinal game, Marlette Lady Red Raiders move on to the state semifinals. So good luck to them. And just a fantastic season. You know, they had their they took their lumps back and forth, but they found a way, pull through, get that league title.
Well, and I think
district title, regional title. Now here you are.
I think during the regular season, the first time they played Brown City, that was in Brown City, and they lost to Brown City. And I think that was I don't want to say a turning point in the season because they were playing, you know, great volleyball. Brown City was a great team this year, obviously, and they lost to Brown City in five sets in Brown City.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a bad loss, but I think losing that first losing your first conference game, I think it really makes you realize that, you know, you have to buckle down. You're going to get everybody's best shot every single night. And, you know, I think that that loss really helped them. The second time they played Brown City, they won that one in four sets, I think. And, you know, this Marlette team, they don't get too low, which I think is important. Like, they don't really... You know, if you're down, you know, that they lost the second set pretty badly. I think it was 25-11 or 25-12 maybe against Ubley. But you come right back and you take the third set. And that's so important to not let things kind of snowball on you. And one of the biggest reasons for their win against Ubley, in that fourth set, they were down 24-15. And, you know, they rattled off five straight points. And while they didn't necessarily, well, obviously they didn't win that set. Ubley was able to get the last point. But to go on that run at the end of the fourth set, that really propelled them in the fifth set. And they just carried that momentum from the fourth set to the fifth set. They were up 9-1 in the fifth set. And, you know, from there, it's pretty tough to come back from that. So it's a great team. It's a great group of seniors, and I'm really hoping they can keep it going.
Okay, that's tomorrow, Fenton High School, 7 p.m. against Clarkston Evers Collegiate. They'll be at Fenton High School. Hopefully, they have a good turnout and get that support that they need to get to this point. So
and so our newspaper deadlines are today. Obviously, we talk about that. So tomorrow's game will not be in Wednesday's edition of the Santa Clara County News, but we will provide some coverage of that on the Santa Clara County News Sports Facebook page, just to keep people in the loop. In case they need to make plans for Battle Creek on Friday.
All right. So we'll take another quick break and talk about the two other teams in our area. Cassidy North Branch, and then we'll try to squeeze in our football talk. I know you want to get there to me before you leave also, or not?
How about we talk Deckerville before I have to get out of here?
All right, we'll do that.
Since we were both there.
We'll do that, yeah. Okay. When we come back here. We'll be right back here, folks.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky salutes the area high school athletes for their athletic and academic accomplishments and wishes them the best. On your way to or from the game or anytime is a great time to stop at Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of their tasty entrees. Enjoy the Friday fish specials, steak and prime rib on Saturday. Banquet facilities are available, and you can always place an order to go. 810-648-9860. 648-9860 for Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
Making friends.
Making friends.
Graff
family.
Since 1914, we've been selling cars and making friends along the way.
From Graff Chevrolet of Sandusky, here's General Manager Sam Barnett.
We all know that prices on everything are going up, so here at Graff, we're going to help a little to ease that pain. Mention this radio ad and receive $15 off in our service department in Quick Loop. We're also getting closer to winter, where good tread on tires is essential for safe travel. Currently, receive up to $100 in rebates on select tires. Also mention this ad and receive a free multi-point vehicle inspection. This offer expires on November 15th. Call us at 810-648-9855. Set up your appointment today at Graff Chevrolet on M46 in Sandusky.
Graff family, we're making friends.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech team. Head to your nearest tech team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The tech team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the tech team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the tech team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the AVS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The AVS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler. At this Thanksgiving time, all of us at Kohler's Propane in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe would like to extend to you and your family the warmest of holiday wishes. To you, our customers, we thank you for your loyalty and your support. You have helped our business to grow over the past 74 years. This has enabled us to give back to the residents and the communities that we serve. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to serve you with the best products at the best price. During this Thanksgiving time, we hope you can spend some quality time with your family and reflect on everything that we have to be thankful for. Thanks again for letting us serve you. Kohler's Propane, with locations in Brown City, Bad Axe, and Memphis. For information, call 800-572-2191 or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Welcome back here to WMIC's Thumb Sports Line. I'm still on that Metallica kick. I'm sorry, Mike.
Hey, I don't mind, man. I'm not as big of a Metallica fan as you are, obviously, but yeah, I like them.
All right. That's Wherever I May Roam. They played that one. And roaming into the quarterfinals also in Division 3. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Lady Redhawks, they are in action also tomorrow. Remember, all quarterfinals are tomorrow. They are taking on Saginaw Valley Lutheran. They'll be at New Lothrop. The Kansas City Lady Redhawks, if they win, again, they'll go to the Kellogg Arena to the state semifinals. And what do you know about this team here, between these two teams?
You know, I'm not going to pretend to know a whole lot about Kansas City or North Branch other than I know that they got really good players.
Okay.
You know, Cass City, they got Shelby Ignash and Casey Gray on the front row. They're both juniors, and they've both already recorded their 1,000th career kill. So that kind of says a lot about their careers and how good that they've been this season. Mm-hmm. I did catch Cass City for a little bit last Tuesday at the regional semifinals, in Cass City. They played Millington, that was a sweep, and then they played Rochester Hills Lutheran Northwest. That was the team that defeated Brown City in the regional semifinals in 5 sets. Cass City had very little trouble with Rochester, and that was also a sweep. So Cass City, another team, you mentioned like Marlette, going out and facing some competition. They've really taken advantage of the Saturday tournaments. And again, they're a team that's been in this situation before. This was a team, I believe they were at Battle Creek last year. I wish we had Scotty on the line. But,
yeah.
So, you know, they've been there before. Despite their two best players only being juniors, they've been there before. They've been in these moments, and I think they'll be fine against Valley Lutheran. Now, Valley Lutheran, that's another traditional volleyball powerhouse, but, you know, give me the Redhawks.
Yeah, last year semifinals, Pewama Westphalia defeated Cass City 25-15, 25-16, 25-18.
Okay.
They hung around,
mm-hmm.
but 3 straight set wins there for Pewama. So,
yeah. And that can be, you know, Battle Creek can be a little intimidating if it's the first time you're there. I'm not saying Cass City was, but it'll be nice to have that under their belt and, you know, go in a little bit more comfortably this year, maybe.
North Branch over at Orchard Lake, St. Mary's Division 2, 3 0, 3-0. Now, this is a big treat. This is nearby. Mm-hmm. SC4 Port Huron, big showdown here. North Branch Lady Broncos up against the Frankenmuth Lady Eagles. That is tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. I think there's another tournament going on there also. I mean, like another team's playing there possibly.
Sure, yeah.
So this is at 5:30, folks, at SC4 Fieldhouse. Beautiful facility in Port Huron.
Yep, very
Go
nice.
Check it out. I was there last year to see North Branch also win.
Yep, so was I.
They picked up where they left off last year, man.
Yeah, they
Good team.
Did.
But Franklin was going to be tough.
The kind of interesting thing about last week was the regional semifinal game for North Branch against Marysville. North Branch was down 2-0 in that game. And not only has North Branch not been down 2-0 at all this year, North Branch hasn't had a match go 4 sets this year, which is pretty astounding. So to see North Branch be put in that situation and to rally back, winning that in 5 sets. Now, the last 3 sets were not very close at all. But when your backs are against a wall like that, where you know you have to win the next 3, that's a tall task sometimes. And I think that was the interesting thing from North Branch last week, just because we don't see that from them very often. We don't see them have to battle back. Usually they're always in control. So I think that's something that'll help them. We saw them, you know, in the match immediately after that in the regional finals. It was right back to North Branch dominance. So this is a North Branch team that it's state title or bust, and they have the players. Miss Volleyball was announced this today, actually.
Yeah.
And Haley Green, the libero for North Branch, she got third place for Miss Volleyball, which is pretty incredible. For, you know, we've seen North Branch players be candidates for Miss Volleyball before, and you know, it's a good team, and I've had the opportunity to see them this year. I would highly recommend, if you got nothing else going on tomorrow night, and if you're not going to the Marlette volleyball game, go down to Port Huron and check out North Branch, because it is impressive watching them play.
Okay, and with about a couple of minutes left here, we're going to glean over Millington real quick. Football, Division 7, they're taking on a powerhouse, Jackson Lumen Christy. Mm-hmm. Very tough team in Division 7. Do you think they have a chance? I mean, this is a perennial power, Jackson Lumen Christy. They had Millington had a good win over Montrose also in the playoffs to win the regional championship title also. A lot of lineage there. I mean, it is possible. They're in the state semifinal once again here.
Mm-hmm.
Just haven't made it over to that state final, because
it's tough
at this
in that
point,
division.
And in that conference,
you're going to start seeing some really good teams. You're going to see a lot of private schools in that division. I'm not counting Millington out. I don't think you can. They've played great football this year. Dallas Walsh had a huge game against Montrose. As long as, you know, I think the game plan has to be, you know, get him the ball, try and limit the possessions for Jackson Lumen Christy, and play great defense, have the ball bounce your way a couple times. You can't count out Millington. They're a great program. They're undefeated, and they've been fantastic this year. So
last year they lost in the regional 6-0, so this is a step forward. They won that regional championship game 35-15. On Friday night over Montrose, 35-15. Now they take on Jackson Lumen Christy. This team is 11-1. Their only loss during the regular season was to Gaylord, 21-24. They're going to be tough. You know, we know all about Jackson Lumen Christy. Always back. I mean, always in the state final, too.
Yeah.
Always ended up there. So good luck to Millington Cardinals. When we come back, right after the 6 o'clock news, we're diving right into high school player football.
Yeah, let's talk Deckerville before I got to get out of here.
All right. We'll be right back here. WMIC's 95.3 FM, because AM 660 powers down now at this hour. 95.3 FM, Thumb Sports Line, and also we're streaming online at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link for that, folks. We'll be right back here on Thumb Sports Line.
You're on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM W237EQ Sandusky.
Welcome back. WMIC 95.3 FM, Thumb Sports Line Radio. I'm Eddie Fury, along with the actual hosts of Thumb Sports Line, the San Lake County News sports reporter-writer, Mike Gallagher. How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Good. Yep. All right, we talked volleyball. We're going to move on to football now. We talked a little bit about Millington. Good luck to Millington Cardinals up against Jackson Lumen Christian. That game, by the way, on WIDL 92.1 for that game Saturday afternoon, 12:30 noon, I believe.
Okay, Scotty's doing that game?
I believe he is.
Okay.
He better.
Well, he might be at the state finals on Saturday.
That's right. So it's going to be on the air somehow, some way, I believe.
Someone will cover it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. All right.
Yeah, Scotty might have a couple of volleyball teams he'll be covering this weekend. So,
okay, so let's go right into it. The Division II high school A player football state semifinals. Dackerville got back into the game. They were up against a big challenge. Adrian Lindaway Christian, we know what they've been doing the last 3-4 years. And, well, it looked like it was a great first drive for the Dackerville Eagles. They ended up losing, however, 42-14. But that first drive, Mike, that was like, yes, this is exactly the game plan.
The first drive was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, I mean, it drained the clock down to 5 minutes, 15 seconds on the clock. They score, get the two-point conversion, 8-0. Fans are excited. Adrian Lindaway kind of taken aback there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually controlled the game for a series. And then
it was 8-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. And then Adrian Lindaway Christian said, okay, let's go to the pass game.
Yeah.
And bam. Pretty flawless offensive football. Their defense settled down.
That's a very, 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 very good football team.
Yeah.
Dackerville played on Saturday.
Their passing offense, and they had some big, tall guys.
They did.
No offense, but this little quarterback, he was very elusive.
5'6" quarterback.
I already love him because I'm 5'6".
And everybody else on that team was 6'6", it seemed like. And
yes.
Then they got this 5'6" quarterback running
around. And he's
around.
Throwing freaking dimes.
Yep.
You know, and you got mossed there,
right.
over and over.
The problem was Dackerville would be so close, and he was just so elusive. And his ability to extend plays really opened things up in the passing game. But Dackerville did a good job of containing him. But it just really opened things up in the passing game. But that first drive, you know, if you're Dackerville, that's exactly how you wanted to start the game. That was a 16-play drive. They picked up a couple of third downs. I think they might have picked up a fourth down on that drive.
Yep.
And then
old Dan Campbell trick there. So.
Yeah, right. You go for the onside kick, and you almost get it. And then you force a turnover on downs the first possession.
Yep.
And then Dackerville's next possession, they don't score. And then Adrian Lenaway Kirsten gets the ball back, and again, Dackerville stops him. But that muffed punt,
yeah.
I think that really swung the momentum of the game. So they forced a turnover on downs. The punter for Adrian Lenaway Kirsten, it was a bad snap. He picks up the ball, and he runs for a first down. Lenaway Kirsten ends up scoring on that drive. It's still 8-6, and then in the second quarter, Dackerville goes on a big drive. And it looked like they might have a chance to punch it in. They get stalled out at the 22-yard line of Adrian Lenaway Christian. And then their next, I don't know if it was the very next play, but it was one of the very next couple of plays, 68-yard touchdown pass. And from there, Lenaway settled in. But you could tell for a while there that Lenaway Christian was not expecting the physicality from Dackerville.
Mm-hmm.
Dackerville was, they were a lot lower than Lenaway Christian at the line of scrimmage. They were doing a lot of different things offensively, but, you know, Lenaway Christian was able to adjust. Dackerville had to play pretty much a perfect game to beat that team, and even if you did play a perfect game, you were going to need some help. Adrian Lenaway Christian, since going to eight-player football, they have gone 43-3. They won two state titles in Division I. This year they're playing in Division II. They're undefeated. That team's winning the state title. And, you know, I think this was, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure who they're playing in the finals.
They're playing Marion.
Okay. Yeah. Adrian Lenaway Christian's winning. I don't care.
Really?
That team was so good, Eddie.
Yeah.
They had size everywhere. But really, just a great effort from Dackerville, because they knew what they were up against,
yeah.
And they knew that they didn't really have a great chance, But you're still going to go in there, and you're going to punch them in the mouth right at the beginning of the game. You're going to go up 8-0. And, you know, they never back down from the challenge. But at the end of the day,
that first drive was beautiful,
that
man.
That first drive was beautiful. Yeah. And just a great effort from Deckerville. It was great to see. And, you know, we expected them to go in and, you know, give them a battle. But, yeah, that's a really good football team, Eddie.
Unofficially, according to our unofficial stats, we had 160 yards rushing total for Adrian Lenaway Christian, 104 for Sam Lutz. Passing-wise, Sam Lutz, the quarterback for Adrian Lenaway Christian, 275 unofficial yards, a total yardage of 435 yards, according to the stat report from John Crazier. God bless him for taking stats and also helping out calling the game also. For Deckerville, according to our stats, and we're going to refer to the coach's stats here also when we come back. We had 129 passing, 199 rushing yards for Deckerville also.
So. See, that's the thing. Deckerville moved the ball.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. They had a couple of drives stall out.
They were in the red zone a couple of times.
They had a fumble in the red zone. Yeah. But Deckerville moved the ball against them. So.
Yeah. Just a great season, though. I mean, despite the two losses to Kingston and Brown City, to get to a state semifinal,
mm-hmm.
kind of tough to do, you know, after that.
Absolutely.
You know, regional, because less teams, and you got a lot of good teams at that point.
Yep.
Officially, from the Deckerville stat report, 46 rushes, 239 yards, 91 yards passing, 11-22 for Deckerville also. 17 first downs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, they moved the ball.
Dylan Ball, moving the ball, 31 carries, 138 yards. Great piece to the cog of the offense there, complimenting Hunter Garza, the quarterback, who also played both sides of the ball also.
Yeah.
Defensively. So did Sam Lutz, by the way. They were both good.
He was very good, yeah.
11-22, 122 yards passing, one touchdown. Logan Martin, six receptions, man. He made some really great catches.
He did have some nice catches,
yes. I'm talking some beautiful college-level type of catches.
Yes, he did,
83
yeah.
yards. But that second touchdown, David Shanks, two receptions, 24 yards for that second touchdown for 14 to make it the 14 points for Deckerville. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dylan Ball. First of all, this Deckerville team, they're going to be returning a lot to next year's team.
Yeah.
Only four seniors on this year's team. One of them, though, is Dylan Ball. Let me just give you so he finishes the year with 1,674 yards and 20 touchdowns. The past two seasons, and keep in mind, last year he was not the starting running back until about 3 to 4 weeks in, but he finishes his career these past two seasons with 502 carries, 3,282 yards, and 38 touchdowns. That's going to be tough to replace, and it's not just the yards, it's how he gets those yards. He's such a tough runner, and he's not going to go down after one hit. He's going to fight for yards, so he's going to be tough to replace. Gabe Kappen at center, he's a two-time all-league first-teamer. He's going to be tough to replace. David Shanks, he had the touchdown at the end there. I think he had 12 touchdown catches this year, so he's going to be tough to replace. Caleb Loomis on the offensive line, playing guard, he's going to be tough to replace. But all four of those guys are on the offensive side of the ball. Deckerville's going to be returning its entire defense. And while you do lose quite a bit on offense, you got Hunter Garza coming back.
Yeah.
Who put together one of the best seasons in Deckerville football history.
Especially with that balanced offense, passing and rushing, and defensively also. So
he finished the year 108 of 161 for 1,540 yards and 26 touchdowns, and he rushed for over 1,000 yards as well. He had 164 carries, 1,350 yards, and 17 touchdowns. So you are going to have to replace some stuff on the offensive side of the ball, but you're going to have Hunter Garza back. You're going to have a lot of those receivers back. You're going to have Logan Martin. You're going to have Parker Merriman, Ian Flanagan. So this is a Deckerville team. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with next year, and this is motivation for them. You know, they proved that they could get here. You know, yeah, you lost to Brown City, you lost to Kingston, but now you know that you are a team that's one of the four best teams in the state in your division, and that's great. You know, Deckerville, I expect them to be right back next year, and it should be a great season for Deckerville. And I'm looking forward. I know the season just ended, but I'm looking forward to watching them play again next year.
All right. So be I'm pretty excited because the North Central Thumb League is going to be pretty healthy competitive wise also next year.
Well,
at least in the Stars division.
Well, they're going to be the Big Thumb Conference next year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they will be playing they'll be playing the same teams. It'll be Brown City, Kingston.
What
you know.
What is it going to be called? Is it Big Thumb Conference NCTL division?
No, it'll be color divisions.
Oh,
I think it's red red, blue, white, black, maybe.
So the end of an era comes then.
Very. Right? Yep, yep.
Wow.
It's end of an era. And what a way for that era to go out with Kingston and Deckerville both playing in the state semifinals.
Yeah.
From the very beginning of eight-player football, the NCTL dominated. You know, they dominated. You know,
still are.
Yeah. You know,
making it knowing that a lot of teams who come to the state semifinals or even regional, you have to go through an NCTL team practically. So, yeah. All right. Speaking of the Kingston Cardinals, Martin clips the wings of the Kingston Cardinals.
It's very cute, Eddie.
All right. Martin Clippers, the Onion Kings.
Yep.
A good, thrilling victory against Kingston, score 42-34. This was on Thumb Tailgater Channel 2 at thumbtailgater.com. My coverage, we did the Deckerville, Adrian Lindway, Christian Cougars. I will try to upload that probably tomorrow for the replay also. Second consecutive Division I eight-man football championship appearance now for Martin Clippers. And they'll face the Indian Lakes this Saturday, also in Division One at the Superior Dome in Marquette, while Adrian Lindway Christian will face Marion, also up north. Gavin Myers, exceptional skills on the offense, 11 out of 16 passes, 271 yards, 3 touchdowns for Martin. 2 of those scores caught by Tegan Harris, 4 receptions, a total of 130 yards. Abe Dykstra, these names are familiar from last year, 5 passes, 103 yards. The Martin Clippers. Now, it was 8-8 through the first quarter, 14-8 at the half, or 14-14 at the half. It was tied up. 8 points scored in the third quarter by Martin, 6 by Kingston. They had 14, and then Martin with 12 in the fourth quarter. They converted some big fourth down conversions also, I think 5 of 6 to keep the ball. Kingston passing, 2 of 5, 58 yards also. Just came up a little short. They were right there. I know Scotty B is sad about it. The Kingston fans are sad, but another great season for them. Just almost there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
State semifinal shorts. Rushing-wise, leading rusher, Owen Corliss, the quarterback, 127 yards, 20 carries. Had 3 touchdowns in the game. James Rail, 85 yards and a touchdown. 81 yards for Tanner James, a sophomore. And again, this is another team that has a lot of talent coming back also next year. So, yeah, pretty much the running game. Great job at Martin Clippers to kind of just stymie that. I think Kingston also went for it in fourth down. There were some that just could not convert and keep the ball in possession. Gave the ball right back to Martin. Short field to work with. They get in the end zone.
Well, and we saw Martin last year when they played Brown City. That's one of the best eight-player defenses that I've ever seen. And I don't know how much they returned this year, but that's a very good football team.
Yeah.
So
we saw
tough to see it come to an end for Kingston, especially being on their home field. But you know, that might have been the state championship game right there.
That was a battle, 42-34.
Yeah.
You know, a fun score to watch. And I know Phil Nichol was watching that game or covered that game also. So.
Yep.
I had a lot of fun with that one. Inland Lakes is who they're playing for the state championship. Who do you think? Martin's.
Give me Martin, yeah.
You think so?
Give me Martin, give me Adrian.
Okay, you're calling it right there.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that wraps up the talk on eight-player football, the path to the title for those teams. So good luck to Martin, Adrian, Lanaway, Christian. Mike is heading out.
I'm out of here.
He's got to go do a signing. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, let's. Next week we'll do like kind of a season wrap-up.
We will do that. Yeah. We will definitely
Hopefully
do that.
We'll talk about some state championship volleyball teams, but we'll do kind of like a wrap-up of the whole fall season.
Yeah, we're hoping that Ubley or Elmont or Millington makes it through us here.
Yeah. Hey, and real quick.
Yes.
I know we're still in the fall season, but Thumb Area Legion opens up the season Friday night.
Hockey action this Friday.
Yeah, go give them a look. You know, if you're not watching Marlette in the state semifinals on Friday, go check out the Legion.
Right, and And we hope Marlette makes that far. You know,
yes.
All our teams.
I hope that I won't be able to cover the Legion on Friday.
Yes.
Because that means I'll be covering Marlette in the state semifinals. But
definitely.
They will be playing Friday night, and then they have their league opener on Saturday.
Okay.
Eastern Thumb Area Legion will be playing in a conference this season.
So if you're not doing anything on Friday night, go check that out. Hockey at the Colleen Howe Arena.
Yep.
Right here in Sandusky. Thank you, Mike.
Yep. Thanks, buddy.
All right. He wraps it up. Pick up the Sandlight County News this Wednesday for a full write-up of the Deckerville game and, of course, other sports from last week with the volleyball. And, of course, he'll have the update on Tuesday night's game tomorrow on his Facebook page, also of Sandlight County. Thank you, Mike. He's got to head out to the signing. We'll get ready for our talk on the Elmont Raiders and the Elbow Bearcats wrap up our show here on Thumb Sportsline. We're going to try to make it to the 7 o'clock mark here. WMIC 95.3 FM and streaming online at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Jonathan Bisher will be joining us coming up in just a moment.
A forecast for the rest of this Monday. It'll be sunny to partly sunny with high temperatures headed to the mid-50s. Clear tonight, 30 for a low. Sunny to partly sunny Tuesday and Wednesday. High temperatures at about 53 to 55 for tomorrow, and 58 to 60 on Wednesday. For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
Tri-County Equipment is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, a Gator UTV can comfortably seat everyone. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable, because the fun has only begun. The knowledgeable team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that's the best option for your budget and needs. Stop today at Tri-County Equipment with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Birch Run, Saginaw, Reese, and Auburn Hills.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler. At this Thanksgiving time, all of us at Kohler's Propane in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe would like to extend to you and your family the warmest of holiday wishes. To you, our customers, we thank you for your loyalty and your support. You have helped our business to grow over the past 74 years. This has enabled us to give back to the residents and the communities that we serve. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to serve you with the best products at the best price. During this Thanksgiving time, we hope you can spend some quality time with your family and reflect on everything that we have to be thankful for. Thanks again for letting us serve you. Kohler's Propane, with locations in Brown City, Bad Axe, and Memphis. For information, call 800-572-2191 or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro and M-81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Thumbs Sportsline Radio Sports Show. Talking football, and we got a few area coverage area teams in action. I'm Eddie Fury. Joining me on the line now is Jonathan Bisher from Thumb Tailgaters Sports. JB, how you doing, man?
Great, Eddie. How are you?
Great. I survived. I made it. So
yeah, we're proud of you.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun over the weekend. Sandwiched the game in between two. So that's Pantera music, folks, by the way. Who is Pantera? Probably one of the greatest hard rock metal music ever made, along with Metallica. You never heard of Pantera?
Nope.
Come on. Looks like we're going to have to play that for bowling tomorrow. All right.
Okay.
We're heading and walking into now the state semifinal. Let's talk the Elmont Raiders first before we wrap it up with the Ubbly Bearcats. Division 6, the Elmont Raiders getting the huge win, a good win over Detroit Edison here as they get ready for the state semifinals. And they're back in familiar territory. A little bit of a mini drought there that they've had. They've been working towards this. You know, they win a Blue Water Area Conference League title. And through the playoffs, winning over Michigan Collegiate 40-38, 35-8 also over Clintondale. And here they are, 49-24 with a win over Detroit Edison. You were at this game, right?
Yeah. It was a very good game, but a very weird game at the same time.
How so? Tell me.
Well, Elmont pretty much had control of that game since kickoff. Defensively, Edison couldn't do anything to them. Offensively, they were able to run the ball, you know, like Elmont does. The weird part about the game was Elmont got up, well, I think it was 42-6 or 42-8, mm-hmm. and then in the third quarter, and then they pulled the starters out. Next thing you know, Edison's moving the ball, showing life. And next thing you know, they got this down to a 3-score game early in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the fans weren't really the fans were starting to get worried. You could kind of hear them starting to get restless. But credit the coaching staff. They never flinched. They never budged. They held to their game plan. And they got their starters out of there healthy before anybody got hurt. And, you know, that was their game plan, you could tell, in the third quarter.
Well, it was nice to wrap it up with a fourth quarter touchdown. They were the last team to score. Chase Patani, 15-yard run, making it 49-24. Like you said, they led 35-0 at the half. 7 more points in the third and fourth. And Detroit Edison with the 8 points in the third and then 16 in the fourth, as you mentioned. 49-24. Very well-efficient running game again for the Elmont Raiders. Just 50 yards passing. 361 total yards rushing. Actually, total yards, 361. They had 311 yards rushing also. 5 for 7 on third downs. That's great to see. Well, Detroit Edison, 1 of 10. And that tells you the Elmont Raider defense, what they've been able to do so far throughout the season and into the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a great defense by Elmont. When their starters were out there, they played fabulous. I think it was Edison's fourth drive before they had a play that gained positive yards. It was just an outstanding performance in the first half Elmont had on Edison. And then all of a sudden, you know, Elmont's like, all right, we got full control of this game. And they pulled their starters. And well, then Edison just kept clawing their way back in the game. If you got to give all the credit to Edison. When they were down 42 in this game, they did not fold by any means. They went, okay, you might think you have won this game, but we're not giving up. We're going to make you earn it. And they definitely made Elmont earn it in the second half.
312 total yards for Detroit Edison, 222 passing, just 90 yards rushing. And there was one fumble, and it was lost by Elmont. When did that fumble happen, in the second half or the first half?
It was late in the second half.
Okay. So that was when probably the worries came through for the fans. Otherwise,
yeah, after that, that's when Elmont put their starters back in, and they marched right down the field and scored.
All right, Luke Winkler, a 5-yard run, got the first touchdown in the first quarter for Elmont, 7-0. Elmont getting the second touchdown in the final score in the first quarter. Cole Walton, a 10-yard pass for Chase Davidowski, making it 14-0. Luke Winkler, a 13-yard pass from Chase Davidowski, 21-0. Johnny Joka, 14-yard run, another one, 6-yard run also for Elmont. 3 touchdowns alone in the second quarter to make it 35-0. And Johnny, I hope I'm saying this right, Joka again with a 32-yard run also to make it 42-0. And again, Chase Patani getting a 15-yard TD run to end the scoring. Detroit Edison in that third quarter after the Johnny Gocha Joka's third quarter touchdown. They had three straight touchdowns for Detroit Edison before Almont finally got that. Maybe icing on the cake there, Chase Patani with a 49-24 victory. Leading rushing. Am I saying this right, Joka? Or you don't know?
Yeah, Johnny Joka.
Okay. 13 attempts, 138 yards, three touchdowns. Chase Patani, 103 yards rushing and a touchdown. Luke Winkler, whiffy touchdown, just 5 yards to carry there. Receiving-wise, Luke Winkler, 21 yards and one touchdown reception, and Cole Walton, 10 yards reception. For 10 yards for that one touchdown reception also. So pretty efficient team here for the Almont Raiders. Now they move on into the state semifinals, Division 6. And they're going to have a challenge here. What's your confidence as they take on Ovid Elsey this coming Saturday afternoon? I do believe we will be covering this game, and it'll be at Grand Blanc High School also. What have you gleaned so far off Ovid Elsey from the Marauders?
If Almont comes out with the fire and intensity they came out against Edison in the first half, I have all my faith in Almont that they'll come away victorious. Ovid Elsey is a good team. I don't think many people expect them to be playing for a state semifinals. So I think Almont, you know, it's in their favor. With that being said, you got to play the game. You never know what might happen. But, you know, give me Almont. That win, that district championship win over Warren Michigan Collegiate, I think that really separated Almont from the pack. And I want to say they're the favorites to win the state title in Division 6 this year. But, of course, you got to win this week and, of course, win next week for Almont. But more importantly, they got to take care of Ovid Elsey, who obviously is a very good team to get to this point in the season.
There's a little bit of revenge factor here to avenge for Almont, because last year they lost 21-14 to Ovid Elsey Marauders last year also. That was in the pre-district, and Marauders ended up losing to Catholic Central 20-0 in Division 6 also. So a little bit of I'm sure that's in the back of their mind. Some of these players were on that team last year. Of course, head coach James Lusby, the rest of the coaching staff, Boholski also, who sends us the stats every week, so God bless him. A little bit of that motivating factor as you come into this game, too, in the state semifinal.
Yeah, absolutely. Almont, of course, the kids that were seniors last year, they got that on their mind. They want revenge against Ovid Elsey. More importantly, I think they're after that state title that's eluded to Almont so far.
So the losses for Ovid Elsey, they're 8-4 to Montrose, 22-29. They lost the first game to Portland, open the season 6-33. Two back-to-back losses to Chesney and New Lothrop in the regular season also, 13-14 to New Lothrop, and 19-28, a loss to Chesney also. And their wins have been over Standish Stirling, 28-27 in the playoffs. No, actually, in the regular season, to Ida in the pre-district, a 14-3 win for them. And they beat last year's team that they lost to, Catholic Central. Constantine also 38-25, and then now they have Almont. So they also have a little bit of motivating factor after beating Catholic Central. This is going to be a great competitive game, and I'm pretty excited to hopefully be covering this with John Crazier if Phil doesn't make it. So I'll be stepping in. So
If you're able to step in, you're going to have a great game at a great facility. Grand Blanc's got some of the newest setups in the state, so you're going to have to let me know how that is. I heard it's very, very nice over there.
I'll try to take some pictures for you. So, yeah. All right.
All right.
That is going to be a wrap-up on the Almont Raiders. Good luck to them. That will be on Channel 2.
Two.
At thumbtugger.com. That's at Channel 2 at thumbtugger.com. 12:30 noon is a pregame this coming Saturday afternoon. Kickoff at 1 p.m. Tune in with myself or Phil Nickel and John Crazier for sure for that game Saturday afternoon on thumbtailgetter.com at Channel 2. So be sure to check that out. All right, when we come back, folks, here we will have talk with the Ubbly Bearcats, and I'm pretty sure that Jonathan's excited to talk about that when we come back here on Thumb Sportsline on WMIC 95.3 FM.
Tri-County Equipment is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, our Gator UTV can comfortably seat everyone. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable, because the fun has only begun. The knowledgeable team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that's the best option for your budget and needs. Stop today at Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Birch Run, Saginaw, Reese, and Auburn Hills.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky salutes the area high school athletes for their athletic and academic accomplishments and wishes them the best. On your way to or from the game or anytime is a great time to stop at Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of their tasty entrees. Enjoy the Friday fish specials, steak and prime rib on Saturday. Banquet facilities are available, and you can always place an order to go. 810-648-9860. 648-9860 for Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular.
All right, our final topic, as we are narrowing down our coverage area teams, the Ubbly Bearcats are in the state semifinals once again, and a good win over Ithaca, one of a perennial power when it comes to playoff football. They take on another perennial power, Beale City, the Aggies, who not too long ago played against the Harbor Beach Pirates, and the Harbor Beach Pirates defeating Beale City at the end of the regular season in Week 9. Now, I'm kind of curious, is this a different Beale City that was playing at that point? Did they have the players that they wanted on the field that they probably didn't have? And do they have those players back now when they take on the Ubbly Bearcats? This is a big question mark, you know. A lot to learn from this game now into the playoffs. Now, there's some history between these two teams. And with me is Paul Adams of the Huron County View to join us. Talk about the big win, first of all, for the Ubbly Bearcats over Ithaca, and now they challenge Beale City. So, Paul, good win against Ithaca for the Ubbly Bearcats. Man, they are running here. I mean, this is a machine right now with the rushing offense, and it just seems like right now it can't be stopped. But this is the state semifinals. Beale City, known historically to pull off the wins. But we've taken some cracks at them also, but Ah, man, this is tough to say, but I just like Ubley's chances in this game in the state semifinal.
Well, I mean, you talked on that Ithaca game, and you used the word running in. That is a very appropriate word because the Bearcats ran the ball 65 times for 51 yards. Candon Peruski had 197 yards, 24 carries. Seth Maurer continues his torrid playoff stretch with 158 yards on 23 carries. And the number I really liked was Luke Vollmering getting in the mix. 87 yards, 13 carries, and 2 touchdowns for Luke Vollmering. So the carries were really distributed very well for Ubley of those 65 carries. And the controlling the ball that much, Ubley held the ball for 33 minutes and 16 seconds. Ithaca only possessed the ball for 14 minutes and 44 seconds. I don't care who you're playing. If you possess the ball 70% to 30%, you're probably going to win the game. And that was another 2 weeks in a row, classic Ubley victories, taking a high-powered offense and keeping it off the field. That's what the Wing T is designed for. And Ubley did a fantastic job, got a couple of turnovers on interceptions and turned those into scores. It was 28-7 at one point. So, you know, Ubley fans are feeling pretty confident at that point, and as well they should. And, you know, 41-20, great win for Ubley. That should open a lot of eyes around the state. Again, this team is absolutely 100% for real.
Yeah, defensively, they kind of held Ithaca in check. But Ithaca did have the offense out there, 182 yards, 23 carries, 193 yards passing, 12 completions, also with two interceptions, though.
Yeah. You're never going to completely stop a team like Ithaca.
Yeah.
You contain them. And what Ubley did was contain them to 44 plays. Ubley ran 69 plays and possessed the ball for 33 minutes. Ithaca ran 44 plays and possessed the ball for less than 15 minutes. That is how you beat a high-powered offense. You don't let the high-powered offense on the field. And Ubley did a fantastic job of limiting Ithaca's possessions. And then on the flip side, Ubley did a great job of taking advantage of each and every possession that it had. First possession of the game goes 16 plays, 80 yards, took 8 minutes off the clock. That is Ubley setting the tone of the game and putting Ithaca on its heels for the rest of the game. Now, granted, Ithaca came right back and scored, but still, Ubley was able to dictate pace. And as long as Ubley keeps scoring on every possession, it puts more and more pressure on Ithaca. And eventually, Ithaca cracked with those interceptions, which led to a 28-7 lead for Ubley in the first half.
Do you know how much time off the clock that Ubley had with these, or obviously they did, 65 carries, as you said, 451 yards rushing, 40 yards just completion also.
The time of possession. The ball for 33 minutes.
Yeah.
Over 33 minutes to 14 minutes for Ithaca. So that's a 70-30 advantage in favor of Ubley, and that's what the Wing T is designed for.
Now, Ubley faces Beale City Saturday afternoon, state semifinal. Ubley Bearcats back again in the state semifinal, looking for another trip there. I'm leaning towards Ubley just on, you know, I hate to be that guy, and that's just, you know, I hate to lean on the fact that Harbor Beach beat Beale City in week 9, and that score was 17-8, and we know what Ubley did against Harbor Beach.
That is a significant outcome, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Kind of clues you in.
But it's also, you know, talking to Coach Sweeney yesterday for my preview, he brought up the 2019 Ubley team. In week 9, Ubley got smoked by Cassidy. I believe the score was 27-6. That was the wake-up call for that team that ended up going to the semifinals and losing to Beale City by 1 point. Had Ubley not been really almost humiliated in that game, Ubley doesn't make that run to the semifinals. So the reason that Coach Sweeney brings that up is he's looked at Beale City since they lost to Harbor Beach, and he sees a different team, a refocused team, a team that got a wake-up call. You know, they got, you know, they went on the road and they got a wake up call, and they've played much better ball. Beat Frankfurt 42-7. Beat Muskegon Catholic Central 45-6. Beat Iron Mountain 20-6. Those are all three quality wins, and that's a team that has, you know, that took their first loss, refocused themselves, and you know, is playing pretty good ball. So I think any ugly fans that are out there thinking, well, I mean, this team lost to Harbor Beach, and we beat Harbor Beach twice, so we should win this game easily. I think you need to set that aside and just concentrate on the game at hand. You know, matchups play a factor in it. You know, Harbor Beach is you know, runs a different offense, runs a different defense. The fact is, Beale City matches up well with Ubley. Mm-hmm. They have in 2019 beat them by a point. In 2021, beat them by 5 points. They match up. They've been able to do what many teams can't do, slow Ubley down. Ubley scored a combined 27 points in two games against Beale City. Now, granted, this team is different, but still, Beale City plays a similar style of football. They're not going to be surprised by the wing tee because Beale City runs the wing tee. They run a variant of it, so they know the principles involved in it. A lot of the things that Ubley did last week to Ithaca aren't necessarily going to work against Beale City because Beale City will be ready for them. So Ubley's going to have to, you know, mix things up. And, you know, there's a lot of tricks in the bag yet for Ubley that they haven't shown. And they might have to show them against Beale City. So, you know, that Harbor Beach game, I do think it gives you some confidence. Obviously, Coach Sweeney and his staff can look at that Harbor Beach-Beale City game, see what worked, see what Harbor Beach was able to do, see what they can exploit. But I think any Ubley fans thinking that this is just going to be a walk in the park, they probably need to pump the brakes on that.
Yeah, quite astounding also. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth straight semifinal appearance for the Ubley Bearcats. I see a mini dynasty already. Well, it is a dynasty right there.
This is unprecedented in the Thumb. I think it's unprecedented for the TSA, any team in the TSA, any 8 or any 11 player team. I don't think any of them have won 5 straight regional championships. Harbor Beach had a really nice run in the beginning of the 2010s. USA had a nice run, but this is a sustained run over the course of 5 years of a school with less than 200 students playing 11 player football at the highest level. It is pretty darn impressive what Ubley has done. And also what that has done too is every player on this roster, except for any freshmen, know what it's like to play in a game with a trip to Ford Field on the line. They know what it's like to lose this game, and they know what it's like to win this game. And I think that's very important. They know how to manage their emotions in this game because you can get caught up in the aura of playing for a game for that opportunity to play for that state championship. Now, Beale City still has that experience too, but I think this experience for Ubley, those players, they're not going to be overwhelmed. They're going to be ready. They're going to be grounded. And I really do think that does play a major factor for Ubley. But Beale City has a lot of experience too. They've been to the finals. They know what it takes. Two times in the last 5 years, they've been in this game with the Ubley Bearcats, and they've come out on top full time. So they have players that know how to get it done as well.
And Ubley was that close against Audifer Lake Wyford last year, 20-26 in that state final. Of course, you want to put that in the back of your head. But if Wyford comes through in their state semifinal, a little bit of revenge factor there also for Ubley. If they would like to see them again this year also.
I don't think there's no question in my opinion, in my mind, that Whiteford is going to win their semifinal game. That, to me, that's a foregone conclusion. Whiteford is going to be able to defend its state title. It's just a matter of if it's going to be against Ubley or Beale City. I believe, like you said, Eddie, I really believe that Ubley has the upper hand in this game. Beale City is going to have to force some turnovers. They're going to have to force some mistakes. Otherwise, Ubley will be really content with having 5 possessions and scoring on all 5 of them if you let them. And they'll just possess the ball and pretty much ground you down like every other opponent they face.
So it'll be Beale City against Ubley this coming Saturday afternoon. A lot of great media coverage on this with our local newspaper media, including Paul. Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m. kickoff, 12:30 noon pregame for our coverage on our Thumb Chugger Sports Channel 1. Also, WLW Sports will be covering this game also on the radio at 102.1 FM also, but online also at thumbchowgetter.com, Channel 1. Jonathan Bisher will be out there, who we just talked to about the Almont game also. You know, we have Millington in the mix, Almont in the mix also, and now Ubley.
Frankenmuth still alive.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fantastic time for the Thumb and the surrounding areas. And, you know, we just had Kingston and Deckerville playing for state semifinals. I mean, this has been probably one of the most memorable years we have had for football in general. 8-player and 11-player, all of these teams that have been in the mix. It's been a lot of fun, and it's keeping all the sports writers really busy. We love it, and you know, just I think hopefully we're putting the rest of the state on notice that there is still some really darn good football at all levels, at all divisions. Being played in the Thumb and the surrounding areas here.
By the way, Ottawa Lake Wyford is playing Riverview Gabriel Richard on Saturday afternoon. That's a 1 p.m. kickoff, and we're going to try to keep an eye on that game through the Twitters and social medias also. But Beale City up against Ubley on a neutral field at Mount Morris High School. Get your tickets for that Saturday afternoon. This Saturday afternoon, it'll be come up quickly before you know it. 1 p.m. and again, 12:30 noon is our pregame coverage on thumbtogadark.com at Channel 1. So, Paul, any more insight to this Ubley team before we part here and wrap things up?
Well, I mean, it's a tale of two different teams. You know, Ubley, as I was writing their preview, over 4,000 yards on the ground, averaging almost 8.5 yards per carry, 71 touchdowns on the ground. So that's exactly what you expect out of the wing tee. And then looking at the Beale City stats, they have a really nice player. They have really nice, some really nice athletes on this team, but it starts with a guy named Jamison Latham. Leads his team in rushing, 827 yards, 10 touchdowns. Also leads the team in receptions, 24 receptions, 488 yards, 10 touchdowns. So a really versatile athlete, 20 touchdowns combined. They got a couple other guys that have 500 yards each, just over 500 yards each rushing. They've combined for 14 touchdowns. And then they have a really another nice weapon in the pass game. His name is Josh Wilson. 20 catches, 413 yards, 4 touchdowns. The quarterback is pretty efficient, Jack Fussman. He's 53 for 95 passing for almost 1,100 yards. And listen to this stat, Eddie. 17 touchdowns, no picks. So this guy doesn't make mistakes. So, you know, Ubley's really going to have their hands full. This is a team that can run the ball pretty effectively, maybe not to a point where Ubley can, but they can effectively run the ball, keep you honest, and they can pass the ball pretty darn well. 1,100 yards from that quarterback, 17 touchdowns, no picks. That's something we're going to have to watch, you know, watch and see what happens. No, I thought Ubley did a great job containing the Ithaca quarterback. He was 12 of 20 against Ubley for 2 touchdowns, but he had the two picks and threw for 193 yards. So I think that was a really good defensive performance for Ubley, and they're going to have another one of those against a team that can pass and run the ball. So it's a pretty cool matchup. I still think Ubley, as long as they – you know, stay focused, don't make mistakes, they win this ball game.
Health-wise, how is Ubley? What's the update on that?
Well, you know, everybody's banged up this time of the year. I mean...
I'm banged up from the weekend, you know, so yeah.
You are really banged up, and that was self-inflicted for you.
Okay.
You know, Evan Peruski is not 100%. That's pretty much public knowledge at this point. He's been dealing with some hamstring injuries. However, on the first drive of the game last week, had a great run for a first down when they absolutely needed it. So I think, you know, they're kind of easing him back into the game. He had a rushing touchdown in that game. Other than that, it's a lot of nicks and scrapes. And, you know, Eli Caban's working with the team right now, one of the best trainers in the business. So, you know, he'll have this team ready. That's the one thing with Ubley. They don't make excuses. They're banged up, but that's not an excuse. They're going to
they're going to get through it. And, you know, come Saturday, you know, the adrenaline kicks in. And for those 3 hours, you know, you just get through the pain.
Looking back on that Harbor Beach Week 9 win over Beale City, 17-8, Harbor Beach Pirates defense holding the Beale City Aggies rushing to 120 yards, 28 carries, and just a touchdown allowed. And then passing-wise, only allowing 67 yards, 5 completions, 13 attempts. But again, like you mentioned about the interceptions, no interceptions. So,
however, that was a Week 9. That was a pretty pouring rain atmosphere everywhere. I was in Bad Axe for the Lakers game, and it was raining sideways during points in that game. I got to imagine it was pretty similar 20 miles down the road over at Harbor Beach. So, you know, the conditions favored Harbor Beach much more than they probably favored Beale City, really limited that passing game. The forecast on Saturday is beautiful. It's going to be about 45 to 50 degrees. Wind's going to be blowing a little bit, but I'll tell you what, I'll take this semifinal over last year any day, because last year we were in a blizzard up in Petoskey. So, I might just wear shorts to this game. It's going to be so nice.
All right. Big game. Obley, Beale City at Mount Morris High School Saturday afternoon. 12:30 noon is a pregame on thumbtailgetter.com at channel 1. Thumbtailgetter.com and also WLW Sports 102.1 FM for radio coverage. Millington Cardinals in action also. They're playing a state semifinal in Division 7 as they're looking to maybe make the finals finally, but it's going to be a tough run for them also up against Jackson Lumen Christi. I do believe WIDL Sports is covering that one also, 92.1. We got the Elmont Raiders on Channel 2 at thumbtailgetter.com also. So, like you said, Paul, we're very, very spoiled, and of course with our high school girls volleyball teams, some coverage area teams still left, playing in the quarterfinals tomorrow. Again, very spoiled when it comes to playoff sports for girls and boys. So, yeah.
Well, I get a real special treat tomorrow. I get to go down in your neck of the woods. I'm going to be down in Port Huron for the North Branch Frankenmuth quarterfinal game. So I'm really really looking forward to that game.
Yeah, I should walk into my old stomping grounds there at SC4 Fieldhouse. Encourage people who are not doing anything tomorrow. That's a 5:30 p.m. start also. Get down there early and enjoy some good downtown Port Huron food, and then come to a really good volleyball game with North Branch Lady Broncos up against Franklin with Lady Eagles, and that's a big treat for you. I know you always get excited when you get a chance to go out and see some of these teams that we actually don't get to see because of our coverage areas, but when we get the chance, we love to get out there, especially when it's only, pretty close, you know, at least not so close for you, but for me, you know, just an hour away or less, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, no matter who wins that game, I get to go down to Battle Creek on Thursday, because it doesn't matter if it's Frankenmuth or North Branch, I'll be shooting at least one semifinal on Thursday. And if Cassidy is able to beat Saginaw Valley Lutheran tomorrow over in New Lothrop, I'll get two semifinals to shoot Thursday down in Battle Creek. So what a thrill that will be to be a part of that atmosphere.
All right, Paul, I will let you go so you can get back to work. Thank you for the whole talk and info on the Ubley Bearcats. Good luck to them and all the other teams in Millington and Elmont also. Go ahead.
Always my pleasure, Eddie. Thank you very much.
All right, bless you, dude. Thank you.
All right. Yep, bye.
All right, we will let him go here, folks, here on WMIC 95.3 FM, Thumb Sports Line, and that wraps it up for our show. We'll have one more wrap-up next week with Mike Gallagher and myself for WMIC Thumb Sports Line on 95.3 FM. Streaming online at cnacbroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link. Thank you for tuning in, and good luck to all our coverage area teams. The Millington Cardinals up against Jackson Lumen Christi, Division 6. No, that's Division 7. Division 6, the Elmont Raiders in action also against Ovid LC. Thank you for tuning in. And Ubley Bearcats against Beale City. That's Ubley Bearcats up against Beale City. And again, good luck to the high school girls volleyball teams of Cassidy, North Branch, Frankenmuth, and Marlette. Thank you for tuning in to WMIC Thumb Sports Line Radio.
your radio live right here on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM, W237 EQ Sandusky.